happening?
What's happening, bro?
Hey, man. Hey, man. Hey, man. I'm just trying to act like I've got shit going on. That's it.
Hey, I'm creating shit just so I can act like I got shit going on.
Like, you just like, nigga, I'm busy. What you doing? Not a lot.
I'm like, let me create a podcast just so I can appear to have some shit going on.
Get a reason to FaceTime.
Hey, this my homeboy Lee. This my assistant.
Lee, what's going on, baby?
His Wi-Fi is
who's
trash.
Nigga? What's going on, man?
he getting his Wi-Fi upgraded tomorrow. He won't actually be on the conversation. I just wanted y'all to meet each other, but he'll be like popping up pictures and stuff like that.
Okay, dope.
All right, Lee, y'all about to say you go ahead and get your slow ass internet off.
Bruh. I haven't used Wi-Fi to talk to anybody with, like, face to face since Teddy Riley shit. Like I ordered an Ethernet cable. During that shit, I was like, nigga, I gotta plug in.
Man, welcome to Urban Legends, Tone Bell. We got Tone Bell in the building, CBS fam, the movie Little with Issa Rae and Marseille Martin, Regina Hall. What else? Disjointed on Netflix, The Flash, Bad Judge. What else you got? Too much stuff to name.
It's a lot going on, baby. It's a lot going on.
Can't cancel this. His Showtime special. This man getting in. Hey, the most interesting man in Hollywood. That's what I'm titling you as. The most interesting man in Hollywood. Tone Bell, welcome to Urban Legend. And I want you to know, I created this platform because I wanted to have a platform where I celebrated people who I consider living legends and people I consider are making legendary moves out here in these streets. And that's why I had you on the show.
Man, I appreciate it. That means a lot, even just... I don't know if I agree with all the. You might have to give me a few years and catch up to some of them labels, but always, man, good to see you. And man, it's been a minute.
It's been a while, man. Man, I met Tone when he first moved out to LA. I think was that when I was hosting Downtown Comedy Club.
Yep.
Yeah, and I remember I got you up one weekend, and I think I'm gonna play another comedian, Keon Poley, because y'all look the same. And I think I let you perform one week. And then Keon probably hit me up like, hey, can I perform? And I'm thinking, nigga, I just put you up. I just put you up, Tone. I thought y'all was the same.
You being greedy.
Being greedy. Just put you up last week. I see you shaved your beard. Ha ha. You know.
You're trying to fool me.
I thought it's another comedian named Keon Poley. I really thought Tone and Keon were the same people literally for about a year. It took me a year to discover that they were two different people.
Bro, and then after me and him got cool, after meeting him, I was like, sometimes when people are like, you look like this person. And you'd be like, this nigga, I look like him. But then I saw Keon, I was like, I see it.
I'm trying to see. So I want to give people the backstory on him because, you know, part of this is like letting people know like your journey, you know, where you started from and then like, lessons you learned and all type of stuff like that in the business. So you're from Texas, right?
From Atlanta, but I started in Texas.
Gotcha. So Atlanta, that's where I'm at right now, actually, Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are y'all back working yet?
No, I'm still unemployed, which is why I'm doing this podcast.
Hey, I'm still unemployed, which is why I agreed to do this podcast.
I said, let me do this podcast where I know everybody jobless.
Everybody free,
because I said once everything kicked back in, ain't nobody gonna be able to do this. Bruh, so I'm just trying to stack up on them now.
I can't wait till I can delete Zoom.
Straight up. Hey, but you know what's so funny? I had Lamorne on here, and I don't know Zoom going away, bro. I think it's gonna be a new way to do business. It's like, why wait in LA traffic when we could just do this over Zoom?
We should have been doing this. A lot of this stuff, like it's. I mean, and because I know you said you're in Atlanta right now, but even still being in LA, like I've been out of town once since March, but bro, it's like the amount of people, I'm moving right now. That's why I got a box and shit behind me, but like I'm moving right now.
And you know, so for every time I talk to you, you move into a new unit. Every time. Bro, the last time I talked to you, like, yeah, I'm moving. Stay where you at. Where you going?
These deals, I can't get over these deals. These deals they offering me. These deals. hires these deals.
I respect it.
Look, people are like, why you? My landlord offered me this crazy spot and he renovating right now. People are like, why are you renovating an apartment? I go, I'm not.
He is.
I'm just going over to check on these floors. Yeah, these floors look nice. These floors look nice. We're almost done with these cabinets? Yeah, all right. I'll be over in about 3 weeks.
Hey, so wait a minute. So, okay, you was born in Atlanta. When did you move to Texas?
I moved to Texas in 2007.
For college?
No.
I have done no research. And I said with confidence. Like,
has it been this long? Has it been this long that we've forgotten everything?
I don't remember nothing. Hey, I just did this podcast just so I could reacquaint myself with you. My name is Justin Hires.
First dates with friends. That's what it should be called. This is the discovery process. So 2000, I went to Savannah State, graduated 04, moved to San Francisco 05, got back to Georgia 06, 07, moved to Dallas. I actually lived in Miami and New Orleans for like brief stints in between that. Then 07, wow. I got to Dallas for a corporate gig and then started comedy 08. And then, you know, once you start comedy, it's like the rest of your life, you know, once you go every day hard at it, it's like, oh, everything else, I don't do nothing else. You know what I mean? I do my job and then I go to the club at night. So like that was till 11. And then I moved to LA in 11. That's when we caught up, like right when I got there.
That's crazy. That's crazy, man. And then when we do disasters, okay, dude, this is what I want. Do you realize that you're industry hot? Like, do you understand you're in the system really well? Or do you feel that way?
It's some stuff you can kind of, you know, some stuff you can feel. Like you read, like I get an email and be like, oh, I'm not wrong about this. I felt like I would get a phone call about this and I did. Like even if I don't book it, I know I'm in the mix for some stuff.
Yeah, see, I'm never in the mix.
But you know what?
If this is the mix, I'm over here. I'm looking at y'all like, oh, okay, that's the mix.
But you know what? But you know what? Like, but you always get shit that like takes you somewhere, and that shit kind of ride for a minute. You know what I mean? Like it's. I give you a lot of credit on. You get past the season, Justin. You get past the season.
I'm gonna talk to you about that, but let me tell you before we get to that, to cancellations. I do have that as a topic, cancellations.
Before it should be number one. It should be number one. I hope you skip it around. That should be number one.
Let me tell you when I realized you was industry hot. And if anybody that don't know industry hot, that means you are really in the system of Hollywood. Like the networks know who you are. The studio executives know who you are. Even if your popularity on the outside, like let's say you don't have a huge fan base, the people that matter are fans of you.
Yeah,
you said the gatekeepers and all of these people that, like I said, the directors, the producers, they like, yo, this is the dude. This is the next dude that we want, that we want in our projects.
Yeah.
This is when I realized Tone was industry hot. We did a show, me and Tone, called Jerks with Cameras for MTV. The producers, so I got cast as a prankster, right? I'm a prankster on the show. The producers was telling us they had hired all the pranksters for the show. They was like, oh, we getting the host. Oh, this dude is one of the next up. And they was throwing around the name Brandon T. Jackson. This is when Brandon T. Jackson was really on fire. Shout out to Brandon. He did an episode of Urban Legends. Brandon T. Jackson was hot. They're like, oh, we finna get the next big comedian. Oh, wait, we don't want to tell you. We don't want to tell you. We don't want to tell you. So we're like, oh, shit. We're like, oh, shit. Who is it?
I remember your face being so disappointed when you found out it was me. It was, oh my God.
And I'm gonna be honest, I kind of was, but let me tell you why
I understand it too. I do get it.
They hyped it up like it was really about to be like somebody major. And no disrespect.
No, I get it, bro.
But
I get
at
it.
The time, but you have to under, even at the
but
time.
But when you teed up like that,
they teed you up like that, bro. And so they was like, Tone Bell. And I was like, the nigga at the open mic that I was just at?
You thought they was gonna hire somebody you can't text.
Exactly. I'm like, I got his number in my cell phone. The host shouldn't be anybody whose number I have in my cell phone. So I'm thinking, I'm like, well, y'all could ask me to host if we just hiring niggas. I mean, and I ain't lying to you.
Bruh, the cast I told feel me you.
That. The cast was like, well, Justin could have hosted the show if this was the case. That's when I realized I was happy for you. I was still happy for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ain't no hate in me. I was still happy for you. But that's when I realized Tone Bell is industry hot. I said, I don't know who his team is. I said, I don't know who his manager or agents are, but they did their job. Tell me how you connected with your representation, because bruh, I feel like they're the real superheroes.
how I got my representation?
Yeah, just tell me about all. Yeah, how you got okay, your representation?
Right. Well, I'll tell you real quick. Let's go back to representation. But I got that job because it was like I had a meeting about some other hosting gig, and it fell through. But then I took a meeting with MTV, some producers or whatever, and it went well. And then they were like, do you remember that night? It was a showcase at the Improv. Mm-hmm. Cause I feel like we were there too. I feel like me, you, Amir K, I feel like Grant was there too. I feel like we just had all popped in. Now, I don't think we were all working, but I think we just kind of popped in.
Okay.
And they were doing an MTV showcase, actually trying to find like either two more pranksters or like a possible host or whatever. And I was hanging out at the bar and met two producers from the show.
Crazy.
And we was just chopping it up. And they were like, yo, do you host? And I was like, yeah. And then the next...
yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. What were you talking about? Like, oh, yeah, we already got this thing going on. They were like, we have a host, but we don't know. I was like, yo, run it. I'll connect you with my people. So, like, the next day I get a call. Maybe 2 days later, I'm sitting in the office. And then I get a phone call, like, working out the deal and some money. And then I remember it got broke down to everybody else. And we started talking about it. And Justin was like... This is the nigga. And I was like, man, I get it. I understand too. I was like, I
hey man, salute to you, man, bro. How did you get with your representation when you got to LA? What was that? And who were they? And are you still with them?
So it was half of them, yes. So it's everybody has that rumor, like every 3 to 4 years, people tell you, like, you know, if you're not getting that love like you were getting. You know, when the shininess is gone and you book a job that's consistent, they kind of just, you know, they shelf you sometimes. You know, people get shelved. It's like, hey, man, they get you a job, don't worry about you no more. You satisfied, they get their commission, and then they don't fuck with you at all no more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got people, but you eating, so why do more? So it was like, I kind of got to that point, but NBC standing for diversity. So back when 08, 09, 10, I like auditioned or whatever, 11, I ended up winning that. And then got to deal with NBC, did Whitney, did the whole college thing or whatever. And then when Whitney went away, because I did season 2 of Whitney, and then Jerks was right after that. That was 2012 we did Jerks. And then, maybe 2012 into 13, because I think I did Bad Judge in
2013 or something, maybe.
Something like that. And then, but I was with Innovative. Loved. But I had met them before I moved to LA, and they was playing me. You know, agents, like, hey man, like people calling, hey man, you got to meet this dude good. They're like, yeah, 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 what has he done?
Right.
And then I get, you know, the NBC shit, and now they knocking, and I was like, I'll answer when I feel like it.
Straight up.
And it was, I made him wait, and I was like, no, remember I called you back in September, you wanted nothing to do with me. And then it came back to like November, and they were like, what's up? And I was like, take me to dinner.
Hey, you got people taking you to dinner.
I was like,
they
bro.
They were probably white. Shout out to
you. Swipe that card. You want to show me? I want extra sides, and I'm taking, nigga, I take to-go food all the time. Like, if an agent take me out, this is how decayed I am. If an agent, ask anybody. If we go to dinner, I'm ordering two meals, and one is to go.
Hey.
It ain't your money. I'm taking
company money.
Food to go.
I'm going to start pulling. I'm going to call that the Tone Bell, and I'm going to start doing that.
Bruh, I'm like, you can hold this one off until I'm wrapping this one up, but then go ahead and put that in the box, and just bring it. He has it. Y'all, anybody want dessert?
Anybody? Little
you know, what's dessert?
Potato pie?
I hear the creme brulee is amazing.
So, all right, let's get into the, because yeah, I do want to get to the, your stand-up special is called Can't Cancel This. And it's titled that because you've been on a lot of projects that have been canceled immediately.
I feel it coming too. I feel it coming. People, when producers stop showing up and they whisper all the time by episode 4, I'm like, nigga, we done.
I was gonna ask you that. Have you ever been on a project and you like, I know the cancellation is coming?
Bro, I can feel it now. I can feel it now. I know when there's a shift in the writer's room or a showrunner leaves or they bring somebody else new in or there's a shift at the top. The president is interim. That shit trickles down. I can feel it now. I can feel it. And that's why I don't decorate my dressing room. You know, people who like, they bring in candles and rugs and bathroom mats and they hang up art. I'd be like, nah, nigga, not till season 2.
Straight up. Listen, I've been on MacGyver 4 years. My shit still ain't decorated. I'm still don't trust it. I'm like, any day now.
It's a storage container. I bring in a Bluetooth speaker and a pillow. That's it.
No, and I feel you. Now, I want to ask you, what was your mentality the first time a show got canceled that you were on versus now when a show gets canceled?
The mentality, well.
Like, how do you take it?
It's almost funny to me now, only because, and I'll tell you why. It's almost funny to me now, mainly because I see it coming. I see it coming because I see that shift in somewhere, but then it always comes back to like either the network or the creator, somebody will go, we were just about to make that. Like you always kind of test the highest out of the rest of the cast because people like what you do. And they go, we need more, you know, we need more tone. We need more of this person, this character pops. We need, you know, I mean, not just me, but other, you know, other combos. We need more scenes with these two or, you know, whatever.
More tone, fuck everybody else.
and then as soon as you get canceled, they're like, we was about to give you way more storylines. You're like.
This goes to another question that I had, actually, which was, do you write your own TV shows? Because I'm a believer in, if you can write your own stuff, because it's going to be more authentic around for you as you, the comedian Tone Bell and all that.
So I sold three shows. Mm-hmm. They've yet to be produced. I mean, I'm getting a few yards in this run. You know what I mean? I ain't cleared to go, you know, to go home, but like it's coming, man. I sold one to CBS, sold one to FX, sold one to True. And they never got produced, but like so I do write my own stuff. And I mean, it's especially in the last, like probably the last three shows, writers ask me more, you know, the I change my own stuff now. It's like, let me make it me. Let me do me. Like, you know, and I'm collaborative. I'm like, here's the joke you want. Let me make it mine. I get it.
You're like, let me make it funny. I appreciate it. Yeah, exactly. I read what you wrote. I'm not a fan.
I don't know if you ever, and I'm not gonna name the show, but I don't know if you've ever been in this position where like I've gotten the joke and I'm like, I'm gonna change it. And they're like, well, just spin it. Can you spin it? And I was like, I shouldn't have to. This should be funny already, and I should just add to it versus like, you trust me too much to be like, he'll make that funny. Like, I don't want that. That's lazy. You give everybody else jokes, but the trust is great. I love the fact you trust me. I can make this funny. Mm-hmm. Can you make it funny so I can make it funnier?
Right.
I don't want you slacking on my shit because that's harder work for me.
That's how it is with me with stand-up. I can only tag a comedian's joke if it's already somewhat funny.
Right.
I can't tag a joke that it's not funny. It's like, how about you throw that in the trash? How about you do that? And come up with a better premise.
I want to give you icing for this cake. I don't want to bake this bitch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I can if you want to pay me. You know what I'm saying? Then.
Yeah, I mean, so like that's, but yes, I do write. And I mean, I got to, you know, especially during this time, like I've got a few projects on the slate. And so like, I mean, hopefully, you know, we those get optioned and get developed, you know, we'll see. But yeah, it's, but you know, but your first couple shows, the first time you get on, you just so happy to have a job that seems like it's going to be consistent for at least a little bit. Right. You're making the most money you ever made before. And so you just like, hey man, whatever these lines say, I'm going to say them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, usually it's a director or somebody comes in that lets you do you. And for me, that was Reggie Hudlin. Reggie Hudlin and I'm going to say Richie Keene, who directed my special, with the two TV directors that were like, yo, are they letting you, like, you real funny off camera. Can you, like, you want some room? And I'm like, man, it ain't my show. So, like, I mean, if I can get some room, I'd love it. But, you know, this, I'm not on the billboard. So
Naeem was talking about how great Reggie, I think that was Naeem I was talking with. And he was saying how great Reginald Hudlin is. Anybody don't know Reginald Hudlin? It might have been Lamorne. It might have been Lamorne who talked about Reginald Hudlin. But he did House Party. He directed Boomerang. He got classics under his belt, man. Classics. Did he help with Boondocks also?
Yeah. Yeah.
Classics. Icon out here. I'm gonna try to get him on here one day. I'm sure he won't answer my call. But
man, let me know. I'll hook you up. I'm like this, and that's my dude, man. I love Reggie, man. Reggie's always been super dope, and he's just that dude. Like, you know, he's that dude. Is like, we're gonna get three takes, four takes of what they want, and he's like, I'm gonna do two more for you. Do whatever the fuck
He give you two.
You do whatever the fuck you want, and then you know you get to that point where they, you know, now the crew is like, oh, if we let him go off. And give him time. I mean, I got to the point where I was like, especially when I was working with Kate Walsh, she was so dope. I would switch this, dude. I was like, that was bad judge, right? That was bad judge, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, and in between, like, some of the producers, and then we had a new showrunner, which at that point I was like, we canceled. But like, I was like, now I can really do whatever I want. So I would have scenes where I'm like, Kate, let's switch dialogue completely. You learn my lines, I learn yours. If we're supposed to be best friends, it shouldn't sound weird,
right?
And then, dude, like, the scene is funnier. Cause like right. it made her stuff more masculine. It made mine more feminine, and it wasn't weird. It was like, oh, these are just best friends, and I was like, it works. There were moments where like I'd be sitting back, and she's putting on makeup, and I was like, yo, let me put your makeup on for you. Like you don't know what you're doing.
Oh, nice. Right.
You know what I mean? I was like, it was a funny scene because like nobody expects a bailiff with a gun to be putting powder on her face.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was just a funny thing to look at. So it was. But it was cool how directors do that. Directors like, oh man, let me give you a shot. He also, like, this is a funny moment right here. No, he came up with that. And then you start getting a little more credit on set.
Now, was there any time that a director have given you freedom and you fumbled the freedom and you're like, you know what, let's just stick to the script. Because I've done that. I'm like, if these motherfuckers had just let me do me, and then they let me do me, and I'm like, I'm sorry. That was a terrible mistake.
Man, I did. I was on Whitney one time, and they finally got comfortable with me. And I had a joke, and I was like, I'm just gonna do it, bro. That shit bombed so hard, and everybody was like,
and that's in front of a live studio audience, right?
And that's halfway through the show. We got another 3 hours to shoot this bitch, and I'm sitting. Everybody's like, okay.
Now the audience don't trust you. They're like, no, we don't know about this one.
Man, and that's hard to do. You
got. Hey, I'm putting on chapstick. I don't apologize by putting on chapstick on my podcast.
That's the reason why I keep drinking this coffee, because yeah. I don't want to.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Whitney Cummings.
Yeah, man.
Y'all still keep in contact? Y'all still talk?
Maybe not over text so much, but like when I see her at the club, we always chop it up for a little bit.
That's what's up, man.
Most of my co-stars, we kind of keep up.
I know you work with Will Packer, and Will Packer, he actually put me in my first two movies, The Gospel and Stomp the Yard. So shout out to Will Packer, and we from the same hometown.
Oh, that's right, yeah, from Florida, yeah.
Yep.
St.
Petersburg, yep. How did y'all first get connected? I know y'all did a TV show together, but how did he become aware of you? And y'all started forming that relationship.
Man, I think I had a general with Will, but I had known Will back then, because I auditioned for Stomp the Yard.
Dang, you auditioned for Stomp the Yard, huh?
I mean, like, I'm talking about.
I was in college when we did that. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's early. Was that early 2000s? I mean, that's back when it was Rainforest, right? That was still Rainforest.
Rainforest, yep. That 2000 and
so I had met him. Six. And I don't think I was. I mean, but I wasn't in the game either. You know what I mean? Like, in small auditions, I mean, I'm still taking shit off of. I'm still trying. You remember them days where you'd be looking on Craigslist for shit?
I do. Yes, yes, yes. I was looking for pussy. No, I'm joking. Well, the joke was
used to.
I was just on there. What are you talking about?
I got a browser open now.
I'm joking. I'm married. I'm joking, everybody. Don't come for me. my wife just be looking. I heard that.
She gonna move this paint to the side behind you. Don't think I'm not don't think I'm not here.
Right, I'm everywhere. No, but okay, so on Craigslist, that's how far back.
So like it was, yeah, it was like me and my frat brothers went into to audition for like one of the, audition for like a man, like two or three lines in a tape in, went into like a small, you know, one of them kind of cattle call rooms or whatever. And then, cause I was on the step team and everything, we went in to be one of the step team too. And so I had met him back then, but like, it wasn't like we was like super tight. And then, but because I had to deal with NBC, after Whitney and Bad Judge, I got another deal through NBC. So this time they gave me actually real money to stick around. And then I had a choice.
Hey, hold on. Hey, Lee. Hey, where the Will Packer picture?
Yo, I can't share it. My screen says you have to share it. I ain't want to interrupt.
You know what? Wait a minute. I ain't shit.
Look, I'll be right back.
I see. We should have been going over that on our checklist. Yeah, I'm about to say, I was like, I know we got pictures for stuff. Anyways, I'm listening. We're going to act like that didn't happen. It's not live, man. We cut this shit together. Will Packer.
But man, I had a deal with NBC. NBC gave me like a, you know, a nice deal, you know, stick around for a year, holding deal, and to like do another show. And I had options between three shows. And then.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's good. I can't believe you found that one.
Hey, man. Hey, brother.
You know. I missed those pants. forgot about those pants. But yeah, so I ended up meeting with Will and we just rocked, man. We just, you know, we had a quick chopped it up and he was like, yo, man, I like what you're doing. I think you're very funny. But Will is one of them dudes, man. Will is one of them dudes where he has to be impressed.
Straight up.
Bro, he has to be impressed. He is straight up. And once you impress him, look, man, I'm talking about one of the best dudes to work for. But you go into a room with Will, and if your audition ain't unbelievable, this motherfucker eating popcorn. Eating popcorn. Remember that scene in Entourage with the brother? Where the nigga in the back was just texting.
Straight up.
And he was like, look at me. Why won't you pay attention? Like, that's how you make you feel sometimes. But it's like, I got to break through that. I got to make this look up from his phone. And like, right. It's great training though.
But you know, it's the same thing in the stand-up world. You know, when we at a comedy club and we just hear mediocre jokes. But when we hear something brilliant,
yep,
we'll look up. Like, who is that? What did he just say?
I need to lock my phone.
This dude's funny, you know? Yep. So I get it, man. Me and Will go way, way back. How did you get connected? And so when it came to Little, the movie with Issa Rae, did he make you audition for that? Or was it an offer?
That was a weird situation because it was like, I don't know the back room talk for that, but it was like, that part was even smaller than that, but they were like, yo, have fun, play a little bit. And I went in to audition for it. But what's crazy is that director, Tina Gordon, me, her, and Regina, off the record, kind of had another project.
Oh.
That never came together. And it was like one of those things where like when I was auditioning, I was like, oh, I get it. Okay, if I book this, I get a chance to finally work with them. Different, way different project, way different level of project. The other one was like a little altier, a little darker, a little more dramedy. Mm-hmm. And this was like, you know, a little campier. But, and I auditioned or whatever, but also I had never booked anything. I got so close every time about to book with Kim Coleman.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And so she was like, man, Tone, we always keep getting right to the finish line and it never comes through. And I really want, you know,
I just want to say she's never told me that, but I'm listening. She's always like, Justin, in pass. I'm listening.
But like, I mean, it was like 9-10 times I go in for something. And I mean, because I'm that nigga, bro. I straight up, like, if my audition time is at 1 o'clock and I'm like, what time they start though? And they like 9:30. I'm like, I'll be there at 9.
Nah, straight up.
I know I'm going at 1, but I go first. I'm going first. I come back at 1:30, but you're gonna see me at 9.
And what's your mindset behind that?
I don't want to alter because how many people do we see go in a room that we also fans of? You know what I mean? Like, you'd be sitting next to dudes, you're like, dude, I mean, and you peers now, when I see you in a room, I'll be like, God damn, Justin funny as fuck. What would you, you know, you start thinking about what other people bring to the table.
Right.
And I don't want to think differently about what I put together.
Yeah, because I done been in a room.
I don't want to hear nobody. I don't want to hear nobody. I don't want to see, man, if I walk out and I see Bill Bellamy, D-Ray, and Lamorne right before me, I'm like, these niggas are amazing. I don't even know.
I was talking to Lamorne about that. Lamorne is literally my Achilles heel in Hollywood. It was between me and him for New Girl.
Yep.
It was between me and him for Barbershop 3.
Mm.
So, yeah. So, hey,
man, if Damon Jr. is not available, we call him. like, I'm like, let me know. I just go in. Has Damon passed yet? He hasn't.
Well, see, that's what's so funny. I feel like that's what helped Lamorne also is Damon Jr. passes on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And Damon Jr. is a brilliant comedian. I mean, brilliant. So, I mean, I understand why he passed on stuff because I'm sure his taste level is like, well, it got to be up here for me.
And he wants his room. If I don't have enough room to play, like, he wants to play. Like, right. Hey, man, leave the script 5 pages shorter. I need time to play.
Absolutely.
I need time to play. But, like, yeah, so it was kind of like those are those moments when I started feeling the I'm always in the talks with Brandon T. Jackson or Lamorne or Damon Jr. And I'm starting to get like that. If they're not available, I'm getting that call. Nice. If they're not available, I'm getting that call. And so, but you know that moment when you realize somebody else working.
That's why I called you for this podcast because Damon was unavailable. No, I'm joking. I was like, who else can I call? Tone.
No, you know, when Damon busy, you know who's a good second?
No, I'm joking.
But I mean, like, and it also helps when everybody busy.
Absolutely.
Like when Lil Rel and Jermaine Fowler and Yasser and Damon Jr. and you and Brand T. Jackson, everybody busy, I'm like, I might book this bitch.
Well, you know, so funny, I was talking to Brandon about that, and this is true for me. When I first moved to L.A., Brandon T. Jackson was the hot, young, up-and-coming comedian. He was that dude.
Right.
And people used to hate on him. And I used to tell everybody, I used to say, yo, you need to root for him because his success is our success. Yep. At the end of the day, he can't do every role. And as long as he's successful doing his job, they're going to say, we need somebody else, the Brandon T. Jackson type, or we need another young, up-and-coming black comedian because Brandon's too busy to do it, then that's when we're able to come through the door.
And look, let's be honest. You know, you working that much, your quote go up. I'm a little cheaper now.
Straight up.
It's funny, but you know what I mean? That's business. That just comes into play. I mean, I remember even like Jerron and
Jerron Horton.
Clayton, Rob Hayes, Langston. I mean, I know I've seen them in rooms being like, oh shit, Tone's here. I'm like, hey, bro, I've been here. I've been on this side of it where like, I'm you and you know what I mean? But also, you probably gonna book this bitch.
Right.
You probably gonna get it. You know what I mean? And it's dope when that happens. I love seeing, especially our peers in our group.
How do you feel about auditioning? I mean, I'm at a point where I know ego is coming into play for me to even have a thought about, do I even still want to audition versus like, what would you audition for? How do you even feel about it? Are you like, man, like Coming to America, did you audition for Coming to America too?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
I got a real bit of story about Coming to America.
Oh, well, good, because I didn't know that. So
I got a real bit of story.
Tell me, and then I'll tell you my thinking.
Not without giving too much. And one, I'm happy for the whole. Like I love, you know, everybody who they care. I love. Like I'm
phenomenal cast.
I mean, it's when you just want to see it done right, you root for everybody, even if you're not a part. You know what I mean? So it was like, yes, I got the. I mean, dude, I was meeting with them back September, October.
Wow.
I mean, because I think we auditioned last spring. It was like in the spring, I think, when everybody was auditioning, like a March, April.
I didn't audition, but yeah.
No, okay, so like it was, I mean, I had met with them 6 months before, like real auditions was starting up and like, you know, meetings and talks or whatever. And it was like, hey man, they really like you for this. But not just you, it was a bunch of other people that, you know, can kill this shit too. And I was like, of course. I was like, you know, but I want to know. I want a heads up so I can get ready. Like, I want to knock this bitch out of the park. And bro, I got a phone. I don't want to say too much, but I got a phone call from a team member of mine that really got in my head 3 days before I was supposed to go in. And then I went in and it killed my confidence. It killed my confidence of like,
I'm gonna just say, did they say who the producer were already thinking about going with?
Wasn't even that. It was something about me.
You know, if you could just trim your beard.
It wasn't a performance thing. It was an aesthetic thing. And it was like, and it made me.
Oh, I was kind of right then.
Yeah, I mean, it made me uncomfortable to go, well, if this is something they already said, why am I going? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know where this information is coming in. So it was like, for 72 hours, I'm in my head about how do I not think about this thing? How do I not get, and honestly, bro, I went in and I was like, I went in, had a decent audition, and she was like, let's do it one more time. And I was like, I'm good. I left. I was like, I'm good. I was like, I might send a tape in, but I was like, I'm good to do that. Nigga, I'll go to an audition and be like, hey, I am not prepared. I really like the project. I am not prepared. I just want to let y'all know that if you give me like 36 hours, I'll come back or give you a tape, but I'm not going to do my best today. So,
well, you know what's so funny? I'm at a point in, I know you at a point in your career when they tell you the audition date, just don't go that day. So like I get sent emails all the time. Like we want to see Justin tomorrow at 3 o'clock, or we want to see Justin Friday at 1 o'clock. And I have my reps tell them like, see if they still have it. I'd be like, see if they still auditioning next week.
Yep.
Because I'm not going to go in and waste my time and your time because you're trying to really, by the time you get to my name, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
We're down to Justin.
Right. They're like, exactly. So it's like, you know, by the time you get to that point, it's like, no, you know, you don't really want me. It's me. And it's like, I don't even want to say other comedians' names. They're going to get offended. I don't want to hear this shit. I don't want to have to beat nobody's ass in the streets.
It's Justin. And what's his name from Baltimore?
Right. Exactly. So.
But I mean,
you know,
but
I still tell them like, you know, if they still having auditions next week, then I go in because then I'm prepared and I could give my best performance.
And I feel the same way. It's I don't even want to say that trick, but I will say, yes, either I'm not going to go today. I'm not doing that Friday. Hey man, if they still seeing people on Tuesday,
right?
I might do that. But the only thing I won't audition for, and I'm not saying won't, it's just like, if the producer's dope and the director's dope and the creator's unbelievable and I really fucks with it, I will audition. But most times at this point, I refrain from auditioning for like multicam comedies. Like if it's a live audience comedy, I've done six of them. Like if you don't know I can murder this shit with a shot, I'm like, I don't know what else I can do. And the only time if it's another cat who's like I'm testing against, I will go to a test.
Right.
But I need a separate test. I don't do those tests where we all right here.
It's the worst.
I'll studio test like, hey, he at 11, I'm at 1, somebody else at 3. I respect that because that's also for them. That's also for the other talent too. Because I'm like, I don't want this shit to be a cage match.
Yeah, that's what they. I'm gonna tell you my worst testing story about testing. I tested what's the show? Empire. I tested for Empire.
Okay.
Me, Jussie Smollett. How you pronounce the name?
That works.
Yeah, me. this was pre getting beat up supposedly by two Africans slash white people. So me, Jussie and a few other people, and I'm going in for Hakeem. Lee Daniels is there. Everybody's there. You know, I'm talking about it's like a 4-6 hour process. They just switching us in and out, This was before, this was the year, I think, before Rush Hour, switching us in and out. I'm feeling good about the audition. I was like, man, I feel like I had a strong audition, man. Me and Jussie had good chemistry. We went in there together. I was like, I'm feeling good. And he was the best person. I remember that I felt like I was matched up with. I felt like he was the best person. The deadline came out. They said that I get a call from my agent later that night. Justin, they went with somebody else for Hakeem. I was like, oh, okay. When I found out who it was somebody that wasn't even at the testing. He wasn't even at the test. It's like, y'all already knew. Y'all had this other dude in the, I forgot the guy name that got it. Forgive me, no disrespect. But y'all know Hakeem on Empire, the one that got the role. I'm thinking he wasn't even at it. So y'all just wasted fucking four hours out of my life pitting us up against each other. And I didn't really have a real shot. I mean, right. I might have had a shot, but I don't know. I know the dude that got it wasn't there.
And like you, the only thing you kind of pull out of that is people knowing you good. You know what I mean? Producers and directors knowing you good at this, like, you know, you worth being in the room. And also your quote now is different.
Yeah, my
that's
quote.
That's, you know, that's what you get out of it. But you don't want to, you don't want to keep testing your quote, keep going up, but you don't ever book nothing. And you'd be like, why is he so expensive if we don't get a chance to see him?
Yeah, I about to say my quote went from $4 to $12. So if you need me on a network show.
I got one part. I did this cold last test. I mean, I was out of town. They wanted me to test. So I ended up doing like two tapes for a show. And I was going up against, it was one of the coldest audition tapes I've ever, to this day, I'm like, I know it's one of my best. That bitch cold.
Right. You know when you kill it.
And I knew, to me, I was doing an inside joke on myself going, I'm just going to do an impression, my impression of Brandon T. Jackson.
Right.
From like other things that he's done. You know what right. I mean? Like, I'm going to do my version of him doing this thing. And then this nigga gets it.
I was watching you like, Brandon T. Jackson? Yeah, of course.
And then my agent calls me like, hey, great news. They love your tape. They're out to Brandon T. Jackson, but if he doesn't take it, it's yours. And I was like, nigga, I was doing Brandon T. Jackson.
I got a Brandon T. Jackson audition story.
And shout out to B, man. I love Brandon T. Jackson, man. I love that dude, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm in L.A., new. I know I was still new in L.A. because I was in my first apartment out there. Me and Brandon was already cool. I get an audition. My agent sent me an audition for Percy Jackson, the Percy Jackson movies, right? I hit up Brandon. Me and Brandon might have been on the phone. I was like, yeah, my agent. I said, you going in for this Percy Jackson movie? I was like, my reps, they just sent me an audition for it. He said, oh, yeah, I already met with them. Here go my costume design. He sent me an email or a text pic. They already had this Negro drawn as the animal, whatever that animal he was, the half man, half goat. They already had the drawings, him in the costume. I'm thinking, why the fuck am I auditioning? Why am I auditioning tomorrow for this? He has the role. And I had to go to that audition knowing you all already have the artwork for Brandon T. Jackson. And they're smiling. Oh, we're loving what you're doing. And it's like, wasting my time.
I will say that, I had one of them moments where it's like, and I was trying to be funny. There's a bunch of comedians in the room, you know, break the tension or whatever, trying to be silly. And I made this move, and I feel bad about it because it's an asshole move to make. But it was like, at this point, I wasn't auditioning for, I had turned down a show. I had turned down a premium cable show because it was like,
okay, Tone turning down shows out here.
Hey, man, I've turned down a couple that either didn't go the way people thought it was gonna go, or it's a hit. And I gotta see the billboards. I'm like, I could have been on that bitch.
I got a story for that. Keep going, I'm listening.
But I was auditioning for Disjointed. So it's the creator and Chuck Lorre in the room. And I was like, man, it's Chuck. So I gotta go in for Chuck. Warner Brothers fucks with me. So I was like, all right, let me, you know, me and a couple, you know, the upper heads and one of them, I mean, we go to happy hours, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of know stuff, you know, we good.
Yeah, everybody, that's industry hot. You see what I'm saying? Nah, I done been on network TV for 5 years. I ain't going to happy hour with nobody.
Man, this shit better than Deadline.
I bet. Oh, you know I mean? The stories you get, I call it that.
It's like, it's outrageous. But you know, that's my corporate background. Like, I just go to the top. I go to the top, and then like that's me getting in. Hey man, I need to meet the president. You know what I mean? Like, I need to sit down with him. What's going on? And I can outdrink almost anybody. You know what I mean? So like, hey, you get three margaritas in, you get some loose lips.
Right. So yeah, I let him put his finger in my ass.
you did, Rebecca. Right. That is crazy. Keep talking. No, we'll do one more round. And so, but I go, I'm auditioning. I mean, and everybody I'm talking about is probably, you know, I mean, it was generally one of them shows where, like, you know who the white girls auditioning for, you know who the black men auditioning for, you know who the bigger black dudes auditioning for, you know who the, you know, because everybody has a type on that show. It's very stereotypical. Everybody has a type, but it's a very mixed cast, but everybody has a type. And I go in and rip. I mean, but at the same time, they literally come in, they go, everybody sitting there, they go, Tone, do you have like 10 minutes? Because I mean, we're running like a little behind. And they didn't say nothing to nobody else. And I was like, oh shit. And you feel weird because I'm like, I know I'm being singled out, but also people been there for 20, 30 minutes already. I just got there and they're like, Tony, you good? Okay, we'll get you in as soon as possible. But I'm like, oh, I don't want to be this nigga. So, you know, we joke. We're like, oh, Tone. Oh, you get, I was like, ah, nigga, whatever. I'm not, nigga, whatever. And then, but I have a crazy audition. I'm talking about they laughing their ass off. I changed some lines and shit. And then I leave my stuff in the little cattle room, you know what I mean? In the little waiting area. And I go grab my phone and my keys, my sunglasses and everything. And I'm leaving. I go, all right, fellas, everybody can go home. I definitely just booked this bitch. And we all laugh because it's silly. And
I'm serious as hell.
2 days later, I booked that bitch. And they was like, I get calls from nigga, why would you say that? Because you know, I was like, nigga, I was being sarcastic. We all know I was being sarcastic. Hey, bro, I feel like trash, man. I feel like trash.
You guys speaking into existence, bro.
Hey, man, y'all can go home, man. Y'all know I just brought this home. Y'all heard him.
You heard him. Hey, I remember. I got a story like that. I remember Afion Crockett had a TV show called In the Flow with Afion Crockett.
Yep.
And they was doing auditions for it, and I had made it to like the callbacks. It was like the callbacks, and I hadn't gone in yet. Eric Andre went in, right? Comedian Eric Andre. I'm talking about, I heard hollering. Baby, I'm thinking, what is this dude saying? So I go in there, I'm like, oh, this room is.
I mean, another comedian you respect, you cannot hear him nigga kill.
You can't.
On the stage is different. On stage is different. That's motivation. It's like, all right, I'm going to think a little harder, but like, I like to hear that. But in the room, door closed, I can't see nothing, but the reaction is, it's mayhem.
It was mayhem. I'm thinking he's destroying. Whatever he's saying, this dude's destroying. Because he's on the first episode of In the Flow. He did the pilot, I think. I don't know if they aired the pilot. So anyways, I go in there and I'm like, oh, this is easy. This light work. Because I'm thinking he just killed. I'm thinking I'm pretty funny. I should have this. When I tell you I bombed my ass off in that callback, I'm hearing crickets. They probably the biggest laugh I might have heard was, I was like, okay, so I ain't Eric Andre funny yet, okay, and then, you know, I just left.
Yeah, bro, I got plenty. I mean, especially when you get in Hollywood and then your first couple auditions, you definitely fans of the people you're auditioning against, and you like, ain't no way I'm booking this bitch if they hear. It's a awful one for all attitude, because you are happy especially when a black man gets a job and they good people. And it's that competition, because you're still competing with other talented ass people.
Right.
And we all have that. I think most of the people in our class have that, like, man, I want it, but if I don't get it, I hope somebody I know gets it.
Straight up. 1,000%.
I mean, like, that dude deserve it. He dope. If I don't get this bitch, I hope he get that bitch.
Have you been working with any other comedians to kind of come together? Like, let's say, like, Gerard Carmichael and Lil Rel, how they kind of partnered together to get a project. Have you thought about doing anything like that?
Man, me and Rel been talking for a while on some stuff. I mean, yes and no. I mean, like, I will write with other people, and I will, you know, if I have something, they have something, like, help out, you know, I'll shake it down, read the pages, and like, you know, try to think as them and punch up or something like that. But I don't think I've had the opportunity to do a two-hander.
Right.
I mean, because TV has been, I mean, I have had a pilot or a show every year, and then I'm touring 26 weeks, 32 weeks out the year. So, like, that has been difficult. But yeah, I mean, I had a joint, me and Rojo Perez, who shout out to Rojo, like, who was on the road for me, but he's also his own headliner that got his own TV stuff going. Also my boy from Dallas, who's more of a writer. He's not a stand-up as much anymore, but he's a writer, writes for a bunch of shows. So everything I do, I bring him on, and everything he does, I do it because he's doing it. Hopefully gets him a little more, you know, a little more real estate in the game. But I mean, me and Rojo, man, we've done a bunch of shit, man. I had a show with MTV. This is probably, man, wait, were you, when I did an MTV 2 show, I did like a green room show, but it was two shows at once. So I shot this show.
I didn't know about that one, I don't think.
It was two shows at the same time. So the show was in real time. So it was an actual, like a showcase at the Improv. We shot at the Improv and Shane Farley directed it. And I know James Davis was in it. I know, was Sam Jay in it? I got to go look at, it was a fly ass idea. It was in a lab. And so as comedians are just chopping it up in the green room, there's also you see the host go back and forth, bring somebody up, like literally you pluck them from the green room, you hear the conversation, then we pop down on stage and see a piece of their set, and then we talking about the set upstairs, and then you pop back to, you know, so it was like it's all running.
Was it called Green Room?
It was called I forgot the name. Goddamn name of the show.
It's all good. MTV, MTV 2 is like, that's why we canceled it, okay? You can't even fucking remember the name.
But,
like,
but that, I think Jack Knight was on the show because Jack had a show too. I think Langston was on the show. And then that night, we all kind of had shows MTV 2. And the next day, we all heard good news.
Jack Knight is another one that's industry hot. He's another one that's industry hot. But he is a beast, though. I've seen y'all gonna hear a lot from Jack Knight in the future. For sure. But anyways, I'm listening though.
But I mean, we all, like, I think all of us had, you know, small deals and like shows that could have gone to MTV too. And then we was all like, oh, we all heard great news. Hey man, looks like the show is going. All right, dope. We all like, we all the Improv having drinks, all having a glass of wine. Like, hey man, looks like tomorrow we getting this good news. Nigga, wake up, deadline, nigga. Everybody gets fired at MTV too. Everybody, the whole development team, creative president steps down. Everybody get that phone call. Hey, looks like nothing is moving forward. They're gonna play reruns of Charlamagne Show and Wild'n Out until they figure something out.
Yeah. I sold a show to True TV and the same thing happened. They had fired everybody at True TV and it just went away.
Hey, nothing worse than a reorg.
Yeah, which happens very often. It happens more often than people will realize at these big companies. You know, they hiring new presidents and new show all this stuff, new head of developments.
It really can change the narrative of like what the network is going. You know what I mean? It's like, hey man, we need more women. So like a dude show, it ain't going to go. Or we like, we need a black show. So like this white dude who might have a bigger following, but I get the shot because, hey man, we need a black face. We need more black talent, or we need female talent. We need LGBT representation. We need to, you know, so you don't never know what's gonna happen. You got to be happy for everybody that starts with a project and gets it on, but sometimes you don't know why it gets on. Sometimes it's not just because it's dope. Sometimes it's like, let's be honest, niggas feeling quotas too. So it's
right. This is what I wanted to ask you, just that this just came to my head. Do you think the industry, I don't know. I feel like some actors are in that rarefied air, like a Will Smith, when it comes to, they don't really see you as a color, right? Like
I think I have TV wise, I think I'm there. Yeah.
Right.
I do, to be honest with you. And I if that was your question.
Yeah, so it is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, professionally and just selfishly and probably, yeah, I do. I just had this conversation with somebody. It's like, I do think you get to a point sometimes where they forget you black.
Right.
Like you're just you get along with everybody. You, from gangsters to CEOs, like you cool. And you, like, you become so non-threatening, even though it's like, try me if you want to. You
right. It's like, don't, oh say, my God, wait a minute.
Don't think you won't get checked real quick, but like, but like they do forget. And you become that black dude that they know for everything. Right. I'm calling you for everything. And I do have some of them relationships where I'm like, oh, these motherfuckers forgot I am a nigga. They forgot.
Now, see, I feel like that may have hurt me a little bit in my career. I have the appearance of a non-threatening Negro. And then you go on my social media and see my stand-up. And then you like, oh no, he's
because that's what's crazy. People didn't realize until like probably a couple months ago. Like I had some fans finally go, Yo, I watched your special a couple of times. Loved it. I didn't realize you never say nigga one time.
Right.
Ever. And it's like, I just kind of, but also I'm at the point now where like you said, do I change, you know, do I write some of my own stuff or do I change my lines? I do, but I get some dialogue where I'm like, I ain't going to be able to say that like you wrote it.
Right. So you purposely for your special didn't say the N word.
Correct.
Okay. Now, what made you make that decision?
By the way,
anybody that's been keeping a nigga meter clicker, we have said it 139,000 times by this point in this interview. I just want to let everyone know that, but I'm listening.
Because I can't say I don't say it. I try to reframe off, but I'm like, I just grew up with it. It's embedded in me. It's in my DNA. And I do choose my words wisely. But the reason why I didn't do it is because it was kind of a Richard Pryor thing. It was kind of a Cosby thing back when we could respect him. You know what I mean? It was one of them.
Back when you went to Mitchell, you can still respect me. Don't you say nothing about me. There we go. Okay.
And I mean, what the reason why I did it straight up is just because I was like, I don't want nobody repeating me and saying something I don't want them to say. I don't want a white dude to be at the water cooler at lunch loving the bit and then getting away, but being like, oh, no, that was in the story. That's what he said. So that's why I'm saying it. So anything that I say, I want you to be able to repeat. And then I don't have to feel weird about it. Or because when you get people who like your joke, you kind of give them license to say it. Mm-hmm. Cause they like it. They a fan now. But I don't want.
I just want to say, these are the words of Tone Bell. Don't you say the N word around me. Hey,
that's what I'm saying. And that's why I don't give you I don't give you a chance to. Like, right. And if I do say it, it has to be poignant. Like in kind of the hour I was doing before, you know, we all got shut down, I was saying it one time in one joke. And it was killing because I never say it. I use it as like it was building up.
Tony Baker told me that a long time ago.
Murders.
Tony Baker, he told me that a long time ago. He was like, if you didn't say it so much, Justin, when you do say it, it'll hit harder.
Yeah.
Here's my problem with it. One personally, I just was telling myself yesterday, I was like, instead of me saying nigga so much, I want to start saying king. Instead of saying, like, I would prefer to say, hey, you my king. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's up, king? You know, versus right. saying, what's up, my nigga? You know, that's number one. That's something, but it doesn't ring like nigga does off the tongue. But here's my thing when it comes to the question I have for you. The reason why it's hard for me to do that, because when I'm on stage, I try to be, I'm at my funniest when I'm my most authentic self.
Right.
Meaning I don't have no censorship. I'm not thinking about should I say this or shouldn't I say that. When I'm just on some, man, fuck it. If you don't think, I think it's funny. If you don't think it's funny, it's whatever. And that is the reason why the N-word comes out so much when I talk, because that's when I'm at my freest.
Right.
And so being on stage, I know it would be hard for me personally where I'm at right now in my journey, in my life.
In your journey, yes.
In my journey.
On my path.
Why it's hard to self-edit myself when it comes to using that word when I am allowed to say it at these right. venues.
And I respect it. I mean, like, and very rarely even on stage, do I use it. But I take that time, like, the way... I would say we work together a numerous amounts of time, and I would say I like to get people exhausted the opposite way you like to get people exhausted, and they're both worthy of entertainment, right? So yours is, yo, man, I'm telling you, if you see Justin murdering for 30 minutes, your body's tired. You know what I mean? Because he's moving, you're active, and you get people can't help but to watch you because you're putting on a show. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, like you make people's bodies tired.
You go to sleep for the night after you finish watching my set.
it's like this nigga need a Gatorade after this. I need some sports drink. Give me some purple stuff.
Straight up. But
my opposite is like I try to get you tired here. Mm. I try to get you tired in your head with me searching for a word, me kind of stuttering through it, me leading you in a way of you think I'm gonna say this because that has to be what's next, and then hitting the 180, I'm making this tired as fuck.
Right.
And so, because I want you to feel like we had a conversation, but I was the only one talking.
I like that.
So like, but I think they're both respectable outcomes to performance. It's like, but what you get is different. And so I think the way for you to be the freest, my free is like, I need you to be as quiet as possible and think how I'm thinking. Because I get tired, because in real time, I'm making you be quiet. Like those quiet moments where I can get you to hear a pin drop.
Oh, that's the best.
Is my laughter. The laughter's gonna come. I ain't worried about that. But if I can make everybody in this room shut the fuck up for 10, 12, 15 seconds and just let me lay this groundwork out, bro, I own this motherfucker right now. And I'm getting these up here turning. I'm getting these gears turning. And so, like, that's kind of my goal. That's my goal. So, like, but in that, I'm figuring out the silence that I'm using. I'm now placing words and I'm taking words out that I want to use. How can I say this without it being so dirty or so crass or, you know, whatever? And like,
and see me, I'm like, what fart joke can I tell next?
like instead of saying pussy, like I'll say low lips. I'll go, you know, the low lips. You know what I mean? But like,
I like that.
But you know, but I'm trying to get you to be like, this motherfucker talking about pussy. He said low lips.
I like that. Low lips. How are you going about doing stand-up? I see you doing the in-crowd comedy shows. How are those going? How did that come about? Are you part owner of that? Hosting?
I kind of indirectly became one of the faces of it though, but nah, man, I got invited up there to do a regular show like everybody else, and the idea was so dope, and I think it's pandemic friendly, COVID friendly, and just I was like, yo, I wanna help you keep this open. What do you need? And because I used to work in marketing and branding and stuff, I was like, I'm gonna try to help this dude stay open because though it's a few minutes from the house. It's like just north of North Hollywood. It's COVID friendly. It's safe. It's like everybody get paid, and like your fans from everywhere across internationally can watch you, and you can interact with them, and you can see them. So like, it was just an idea that I was like, yo, I'm going to help you whatever I can do. So, and dude wanted help. He was like, dude, I'm running myself to the ground. I'm trying to do sets. I'm trying to do, because we do music over there too.
Nice.
So I'm at, it's not mine. I have no ownership in it, period. But I am just, it's just one of them things where I'm putting in some efforts to, one, solidify, hey man, if I ever shoot a special over here, if I want to do a show, I can. But the dude is so cool and such a gracious guy, man, that like, I was like, he need help.
Right. It's a music studio, but also a film production studio also?
It's a touring studio. So before all this, you know, before the world did this, they were doing, you know, Coachella concerts, Bonnaroo. They was doing stuff at MSG in New York. They do big fast festivals and I mean, even the shit the NBA doing right now with the fans, is we got some shit like that going on. So right. We just had a country concert over there. Cardi B just shot over there like 2 weeks ago. It was built for kind of music initially, but then they changed the setup to go, man, we can probably run some shows out of here.
Right.
And the dude loves comedy and he's a comic that hasn't like had a moment to break, but he's putting himself on, but also having to, you know, hire the crew. And because people don't understand, it looks so dope because it's a 3D LED wall, 360 degree LED wall. So it's not green screen. Like, so when you see the 50 people up here, it's 2,000-3,000 other people watching they don't have the gallery view, but like I can talk to you. It's basically this, I'm talking to you, but I'm doing a set.
Right. That's dope.
And so you get the viewer, yeah, at the crib. And so every comic gets paid. And then the more ticket sales, the more the comics get, everybody get equal split. So if they promote it, I mean, you can walk out of there with 200, or you can walk out of that bitch with 2,500, depending on how many tickets we sell.
Wow. So
it's for comedians, and that's what I love about it. It's like, I got involved to be like, man, I want to hang out with my friends again. I want motherfuckers to get on stage again. I'm sick of doing this waste up comedy.
Right. I haven't done it. I remember when COVID first started, they was asking me, some people was hitting me up to do like some online comedy, and I just felt weird about it. But then when I saw y'all set up, I was like, okay, now that actually made sense.
Yeah.
You can hear them laughing and stuff.
Bro, it's just like this. I got a stage and a microphone. Nigga, I could come out and be like, Lee, what's going on, baby? Like, hey, what you doing? You eating tacos tonight? I see you got the tacos. You know what I mean? Put them on the big screen so I can do crowd work. Just talk to Lee. I mean, then we can switch the boxes and I could throw somebody else up there. I can do crowd work. It's a dope feeling.
That's dope, bro. Shout out to that dude. I think my only thought is I haven't done any stand up on TV yet. And it, to my own detriment, I'm sure. I'm like, when I first saw that too, my thought was, how do you stop people from recording your material that you may not want to burn yet or have out there yet?
It's like everybody thinks it's streaming. It's not.
I mean the people that's at home watching.
Bro, we got, like, if you ever watch a clip of, like, the demo that we do, just the demo for the space and, like, how the shows work, it's a room with 10, 15 PAs back there looking at everybody's account, swiping.
Oh, okay.
And, like, as soon as you cannot record. You might get a photo off,
but then
as soon as you see the camera covered or somebody, they put you out of that bitch.
Oh, see, I like that.
It's like dudes combing the whole show. I've not seen anybody, especially when somebody who's I talking to? I was talking to it wasn't Ian Edwards. I was talking to Roy Wood Jr. And he was asking me about it, and I was like, bro, I was like, I've done 3 or 4 sets up there, and the only shit that's online is the shit I posted.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, ain't nobody, not saying that somebody can't figure it out, but the encryption on the, like, you can't screenshot, you can't screen record. As soon as you do that, they get a notification because there's a cyber fence of some technology or something.
Mm-hmm.
They don't let you do it because Zoom has like a heavier encrypted thing with, I don't know. They have like the most premium account. And then we can stream if we want to, but no, man, it's closed network. Nobody's got any shit out there.
And at this point in our interview is when we're hacked and a penis pops up on the screen.
Dicks!
Hey, what y'all doing?
Dude, my road manager, Derek, told me, he was having, his daughter is 8, and they was having like a little, intro meet. No, what do you call them at school? We got to meet everybody.
Students and the teachers?
Open house for like all.
Oh, okay.
Meet the teachers, meet the students or whatever. And they had like a chat going, the principals hopping around going, hey, just everybody, I'm principal so-and-so. I can't wait to, you know, this class is the third grade or whatever. And then somebody in the chat, they got hacked and was like, fuck niggers.
Damn.
And dude, like, he was trying to ignore it and go on, but people were like,
you see what I'm saying? And what I'm trying to do is, he should have been saying, fuck kings. You know what I'm saying? if we could kind of mold that into the world, they could be calling us kings.
Hey. Let's do it. I gotta do something with this.
Man, let me tell you something. I usually have a hat on in these things. The only reason I had it somewhat like this is because I went looking at some property out here in Atlanta today. And
man,
you
do the sponge though, don't you?
I do the sponge, yeah.
You do the sponge.
But your hair looks incredible, Tone.
I don't have sponge hair in my hair. It won't take to the sponge.
Well, you got naturally beautiful hair.
Well, I mean, that's what the compliment I was waiting on. But it was
He like, what can I say to lead him to this compliment? How was it working with Issa Rae on Little?
Great, man. She's you have no idea how super cool, super nice to work with. Yo, she's so authentically her. All of them, though, everybody is, man. Like, I mean, Issa, Regina. I mean, Regina's like, I love Regina. Me and Regina super tight. Like I said, because we had that project that was supposed to happen a couple years prior to Little. But it was dope. But like, she is aqua black girl, and it's nice to. Oh yeah, that's perfect. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, and she is such a. And it's not, man. I'm trying to say this in a way that doesn't make her seem like standoffish, but it's just her. So because it's like. You'll sit there and talk to Issa for 15, 20 minutes if it's interesting.
And then you realize she's not listening to you.
it's like when the conversation's over, she's not trying to talk.
I feel you.
It's like if y'all have a conversation, I mean, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
she's focused. I mean, she got so much stuff going on, man.
Bruh, but that's how you do anybody. You're like, it's not disrespectful. It's like, oh, this conversation was over. I'm going to go do some other things.
Yeah, I'm about to end this conversation right now.
It's like 10, 15 minutes. It's super dope. And then she like, she's off handling some other business, but funny. And she dope, man. She dope. She's super dope, man. Like, I've only worked with maybe 2 people that I would never work with again, who know it, But
you mind saying them, or you don't want to say them?
There's a director. There's a director from a show, from a TV show, that like we had it out, nigga. He was like, "Can you take this scene and speed it up?" I just felt like he wasn't respecting me, and I was like, "Quit talking, You don't talk to nobody. Stop talking to me like that."
Right.
It was condescending, and I was like, "This ain't even some actor shit. This man shit."
Right.
Don't talk to me like that. And he was like, take this scene, just do, you know, whatever, just take this scene down and just like, but I need to be quicker. And I'm like, you don't tell nobody. And I was like, hey man, I'm going to do it how I want to do it. And if you don't like it, fucking cut it.
Straight up.
But I'm going to do it. So go over there, take your little headphones and sit in that chair. And from now on, have the showrunner talk to me. I don't want to talk to you no more.
How dare you?
he was like this. He was like, okay, I guess we're doing, okay, all right. And we didn't talk no more. We didn't talk no more. And then there was a I definitely can't say this one. That somebody will know about that. But
oh, okay.
But it was like it just. But also, it wasn't mean. It was just like, oh, we don't work well together.
Gotcha.
I'm not mad at you. I just cannot work. I do not. This is not some team shit. I like to be on the same page as, because even as an actor, if I'm doing something comedic, and everybody else is actors, instead, like not funny actors, if it's dramatic or, and I have the comedic role in it, I let everybody else figure out what they're gonna do first and I'll work around it. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want you having to be like, oh, what is he gonna do? I'm like, man, do you, I can find my funny in whatever you said.
Straight up.
And sometimes if I know it's my scene to win, I'll be like, hey guys, this is what I'm gonna do. But if y'all don't care, just like, let me know what y'all gonna do. And then I'll, on take three, I'm gonna go crazy. I'm gonna do something wild. Can you be right here? Don't turn your back on this one. I need you to be looking at, you know what I mean? And then, but I'm also very respectful of it. But yeah, I've been in situations where I was like, I've actually gotten a movie where like they were gonna cast somebody else. And they're like, how do you feel about so-and-so? And I was like, I want you to make the movie you wanna make. So I if this is who you want, I'm gonna step back. And I will work with this person, but we have to have a conversation first. I will work with this person, and I can do that. But like, I want you to do the best. So if you want this person over me, I got to step back.
Right.
And it was like, because I want the best for you. I just don't want this to get in the way of your vision. Because
And was that from a previous working experience with that actor, or was that offset something happened at a party or something?
Yep, offset at a party. Mm-hmm. And just, it was like, and that shit been brewing 2-3 years in the making. And it was like, I knew we would get the call to eventually do something together. And it happened. And I was like, man, I don't think this person is not talented. I think they're very talented. Personally, I just, even if in the script, the relationship was different.
Was it Denzel Washington?
It was Denzel Washington. I was like, I can't work with this king. I cannot work with this king.
King, you can't work with this king. Hey, it's working though. Hey man. It's working. The king, man. We might be on to something, bro. No, I feel you on that. I've
because I respect it. I mean, if you're talented, I respect it. Doesn't mean I can work with it, but I do respect it. And I'd rather a producer and a writer, creator, whoever, get they vision out the way you see it more than my opinion of somebody who I might be cast with. And if I can make it work, I'll 100% make it work. I'll give you 110%. But I know if it's going to, This is going to be harder on you, and I know I'm this going to strain me. Then I would rather step out of it so that you can get what you need, because like that's the most important thing. I ain't gonna be that selfish.
What about working with Mark Paul Gosselaar? That's Zach Morris. Anybody that don't know, how was it working with him? Because I mean, I grew up watching Saved by the Bell.
Bro, he's hilarious.
That's crazy.
He's really funny. He's really fun. I mean, just like day to day, because he's like, he's kind of a dick. he's kind of an asshole, but like in the asshole way that you want him to be asshole. He's like very sarcastic and facetious and just, but also, you know, I'm working, because he tested, I already had the job. He had tested with me. And so when I meet him, I miss a couple of the cats. I'm actually one of the cats who tested.
Wow, that. They made him audition, huh?
Yeah. Well, also, and one of the guys who auditioned, I'm working with now on my new pilot.
Gotcha.
It was really funny, but also, like, man, when I saw MPG, I was like,
oh, I didn't know that's what I didn't know he went by MPG. I didn't know MP, that.
He goes by MP, MPG, MP. he cool though, man. Like he's, I mean, like, you know, he's one of
the. See, that's what I mean. See, maybe that's the ego that's coming into play with me. That's, to me, that's wild that he would audition versus it's an offer for him.
He hadn't done multicam in a while.
Okay.
He had been doing, you know, so it's like, does he still have it? But also, he didn't audition. He jumped straight to the studio test.
Oh, okay. 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 Gotcha. That makes sense.
I think it was kind of like his to lose, to be honest with you. You know, the same, I mean, happens to all of us. Like, you see the people in the room, you're like, y'all give me a shot. Y'all really want him. But just in case he fall apart.
Right.
You got a backup.
Like, that was my Brandon T. Jackson story. Just in case this contract doesn't go through, we got 900 other people that auditioned for it.
Now take them legs and put Justin Hire's body on them legs.
And they're like, nope, he's too small. I got the body of a toddler. Now I see. I went on your social media for the first time in months, and
thank you.
I'm joking.
So as most people, I stopped posting a while ago. So like, it's finally.
Well, let me tell you something, man. This is what I mean too. I don't understand. My algorithm is terrible. I feel like you have some of the best algorithm. Either your fans are so sincere, or you have some of the best Instagram algorithm. Meaning, I have 110,000 followers. I post a picture, I get 1,000 likes if I'm on
sidebar. So I'm gonna sidebar you real quick. Remember that day we were shooting Jerks and your Twitter went off? I mean, like, you had like 1,900 followers and then by lunch you have 400 some thousand followers.
Yep, all spam. I remember that. That was all spam. And I think when I got with my agency or my new agency, I had them put in a call to Twitter so they could fix it. And so slowly by slowly, all those eggs started going away.
Cause that shit was wild. I was like, Jesus Christ! In 5 hours.
But you could, I see, like you posted a picture of you with a mask on, 7,000 likes, and I'm like, I gotta literally have a picture with Tupac, and I'm talking about Tupac is back to get 2,000 likes on a picture. So I'm like, this dude's Instagram algorithm is it? Nah, did you get in a call? Is it naturally like that?
Nah, bro. Like, look, one, I get jealous of other people's numbers too, but then you got to look at what it is. Like, I know my fans are married women, single women, gay men, and couples that go, man, we like that dude.
Right.
That's who. So if I post anything that's like me, mostly me, my face, that's when I get the most likes. But I got to hide promoting a show behind that.
But see, that's, say that again. Pontificate. I graduated with a four-year-old degree. I can't even, with a four-year-old education. That's what I graduated with. I'm listening.
I have to sneak in. Cause like, if I'm trying to promote a show, if I'm like, I'm going to Dallas Labor Day weekend, 4 through 6, right? So if I want to put that flyer up, bro, I'm gonna get 800 likes.
Right.
Because nobody cares. They want to see the finished product. They don't care about my real fans will go, I'm supporting this. I want to see this. If I'm in Dallas, I'm going. The world come to see your face. That's why the hottest Instagram is either big ass celebrities or big asses.
Straight up. And I'm neither, which is why my views are 200.
I gotta put a headshot up of me being a bad bitch. And then you gotta swipe and be like, Dallas, 4 through 6.
Tone pictures be like this. He be looking back at it. Yeah, I'm like, why are you looking back at your ass in this picture? That's so true. Because let me tell you what I realized.
My story. Because I gotcha. Like, that's like, when you had to see it.
When I went on your Instagram, you posted a group, man, we did a fire show called From Set to Stage. It was me, you, London Brown, James Davis, dope show that we did. I saw you posted that. That got like 2,000 likes. And then, but it was like a group of us. You know, you posted a picture by yourself, 8,000 likes. And I was like, he got real. That's a real fan base that you have, though, bro. That's like people want, they like, I don't care about all this. We want Tone Bell.
Bro, I mean, that's like when you see, I mean, any woman that you find attractive don't have to be slutty. I'm talking about just a woman. Like, like I'm talking about like a classy Gabrielle Dennis, classy chick.
Love Gabrielle.
Beautiful, beautiful. I mean, always. It don't matter if she's sitting around in a t-shirt or on a red carpet. She's just a genuine, sexy woman who's beautiful, and she got all her clothes on.
And she's funny.
And she's funny, and she's striking. So like, then it.
Look at that. 7,000 likes. This Negro. Look at this. Do you realize I would literally have to spread my ass to have that? To have those likes, bro. I've never gotten 7,000 likes on a picture, bro. But I literally took a picture. I took a picture with Jesus, bro, and I got negative 43 likes, bro. I said, "How did my likes go backwards?" It's Jesus. I'm confused.
You telling me that your cup don't runneth over?
And we was walking on water in the picture.
I'm moonwalking on water with Jesus.
No one cared.
But Jesus posted a selfie. Hey, out of here.
Jesus unfollowed me. He said I was bringing out his likes. Jesus was like, I'm out of here, bro.
Bro, it's. But I only post work now. I don't really post like that. I don't post my family. I don't post, a lot of friends. I mean, it has to be like if we're working together, I'm like, oh, these my boys. I'm going to post this because it's work-related and it's friendship involved. Right. But I don't post like my little cousins. I don't post my friends' kids. I don't post like it's for it to be personal to me. It's like I'm trying to really step outside of, I want to have a personal life without everybody knowing everything.
No, you know what I mean? So it's like, I get it.
And because you don't know, anytime I post on like if Candace Patton, Gabrielle Dennis, any chick I've worked with that I kind of give like an ode to like, oh girl, you looking cute today. Wink. It's like, oh shit, Tone coming at this. I'm like, no, I'm not. You just don't know who I'm dating.
Right.
You don't know anything about my personal life. So it's like, oh, we finally see some action. It's like, I'm just giving my homegirl a compliment. Mm-hmm. Damn, you look good today, girl. Hey, you looking fire. Keep going. And it's like, oh, he must be
trying to smash.
Yeah, he's shooting his shot. I'm like, I'm appreciating this queen.
That's right.
That's it.
Queens and kings out here.
I stopped that a while ago, man. I don't really post a lot of like personal shit, but like I was like, man, I need to post something. And it's not a selfie. I'll post something.
And so this is what I was thinking too. So you are politically active when it comes to like the Black Lives Matter, but it's not there's a balance to it. Like you're not constantly, so what's your thinking when it goes into being political, but maybe not too political? So you like state your point, but at the same time, not doing it too much. So what's your thinking behind that when it comes to social media and all of that?
You can get beat down, overrun with that shit. Right. I mean, like it's kind of like that. I use this phrase for a lot of things. It's two things I think. One is there's a scene in Ocean's 11 where I think Brad Pitt says it, but he goes, never use seven words when you can say it in three. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like short, simple, simplicity. Sometimes that's where the brilliance is. So I keep it simple. I'm not gonna hit people over the head because then people tune out. I gotta mute this because it's too much. Also, there's a biblical parable of like salt and light. Like some people need to be light of like, I need to be seen. I need to keep pushing this shit at you. And I'm more of a salt type dude. Even the way I kind of move in Hollywood is like, I'm more of salt. Like I like to get inside first and then I like to make change. So like, let me in there. Like I find more change in, like if I'm the only black dude at a party, I'm going to have more effect on their white minds than them reading a post.
Right.
Because I can have that. I'm already the elephant in the room. So then when you can go, oh, I live just like, yo, I got just as much money. I can drive a dope car. I can fly first class. I can do same. We doing the same shit, but I've had police officers' guns on my face 4 times in my life.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Whew.
But it's like, I penetrate them more with shit like that than a post. You know what I mean? It's like,
I'm definitely all in your face. Without question. I'm like, hey, look at all the shit I'm doing. But I respect that because I think that's actually why we have good chemistry too. I know we used to joke around about doing like a Bad Boys or something like that. And I do feel one day we will do something together for sure.
We gotta figure out. I feel the same way. I feel the same way.
But it is that Will Smith, Martin vibe, when you got like the the Def Jam loud comedian, and then you got the other dude that's also funny as hell, smooth, and it's just the explanation you just gave. You know what I'm saying? It's the exact explanation. It's that yin and yang effect.
Well, it's an odd couple, and it works.
Right.
It's a two-hander, and people don't understand sometimes, like, when you say number one, number two, it's like, no, both of them are number one. When you say number one, number two, you talking about, oh, like, how, and we understand that, because, like, this is how, like, oh, I'm the straight man in this scene, you the funny, I'm the funny in this scene, you the straight man, and that's why it works.
Right.
Like, you're willing to share. It's not about the order of responsibility or prominence. It's like, this is just, yo, man, sometimes you're going to be number one in the scene. You win in the scene. It's yours. Sometimes it's going to be over here. But that respect has to be reciprocal, because, and if you do that, that shit murders, bro. I mean, that's why that franchise has been so great.
Absolutely. I mean, and you could tell it's a lack of ego in that, because if anybody know the Bad Boys story, that was Martin Lawrence's movie. He hired Will Smith. And then Will Smith became the bigger star, quote-unquote, Hollywoodness. Martin didn't let that stand in the way of the greatness that they had together.
Right.
You know, they still both played their positions. I mean, without ego.
It's never been called Will Smith's movie. It's right. Will and Martin's movie.
Absolutely.
That's Will and Martin's movie. The respect level is identical.
I saw this. I meant to watch this episode. You did American Soul.
Yeah.
And you played Richard Pryor. How was that experience? I didn't catch the episode. I have it DVR'd. How was that experience, and were you nervous about doing that?
I was nervous about doing that. Shit, yeah. I mean, I literally, when they called me, because it was a straight offer. They called me, and I was like, man, let me think about it. But before I hang up, who turned this down?
Damon Jr.
Damon Jr. But it was honestly, the reason why I accepted it, it was like, because I was like, man, let me read it first. Let me watch a couple episodes of the show. Because I had seen the show, but I'm not like a, you know, avid watcher, you know what I mean? But like, I know Sickwin. I was like, I know some people on the show, so I try to support everything that I know somebody in, especially when it's a well-produced black show.
Absolutely.
And it was real dope. It was real dope because I was like, how much of Richard, because I've seen the show, and I go, how much of Richard's life are we seeing? Who do I have to be? And I'm not talking about, like, I'm talking about, who do I have to be? Which Richard is this? What year is this? What's going on in his life? Like, what's happening? So they send a script, and I do some research. Then they send a script, and I realize, like, oh, he's only in the studio. You never see him outside the studio. Don can't be there. They need Richard to host the show. And Richard's just hitting on every chick around the studio. He's just being an asshole, hitting on everybody. So I was like, oh, this I can do. This, and that's not biopic. This is Richard being, so I was like, I'm gonna be me as a dude from the 70s.
So you had to do the voice? I didn't hear the, no? Oh, okay. No. I was about to say, I want to hear your Richard Pryor voice.
There's two or three moments that I do pay homage. And I was like, can we get a couple? I was like, we done with the scene. But I was like, I want to run this by y'all real quick. And they fucking lost it, my nigga. They did not know I was gonna do this. And the girl who plays the stage manager on the show, the studio floor manager, she's about to say, oh, you mean don't say nigga? And I was like, I go, don't say it. I mean, like, I had
that's good.
So like, but they didn't know I was gonna do that shit. So everybody lost, and I was like, I got a couple, I'm gonna pay homage, but I don't do impressions. Y'all should have got Jay Farrow or Afion if you wanted impressions. I don't do that. But right. If I'm gonna live his life, I'm gonna need a few weeks or a few months to tap into this. But
well, now we know who turned down the role. You just named both of them.
No, they would not tell me. I'm just saying, you know, motherfuckers who kill impressions. I mean, you know.
No, I'm telling you, that's who turned down the role. I'm literally telling you, they called Jay Farrell and Afion. They said no, then they called you Tone Bell. Finally, we've been.
I think I have to go. I'm taking.
We've been to wrap up. I see you got two projects coming up. You got Work Wife. That's your pilot, right? Is that the pilot?
Yep. And me and Emily Cabral.
And you have the United States versus Billie Holiday, which I have a very funny story about. Tell me about both of those projects.
Work Wife. I mean, we this was ABC. I had a wild pilot season. after, because I had a show at CBS. I had a pilot at CBS that I wrote and created that did not get to shoot.
What was the name of that?
Mr. Right Now.
Oh, I like that. I like the name of that.
Yeah, Mr. Right Now. It was just about a dude who like thought he's a good catch, and women are like,
right. On second thought.
So he just wants to grow up and make himself. You know, I want a family. I'm sick of playing games.
First of all, that's an incredible premise for a show. That's number one. Number two, if you sell it to CBS, because I don't know this, if you sell a show to CBS and they pass on it, can you still take that script and shop it around to other places?
It should be initially in your contract to have reversion. I want reversion on the script. So, and they usually give you a time limit. Like if they decide to do nothing with it in 6 months, you can have it back. So I do have it back now. Yeah.
Okay.
So I re-own it. Yes.
That's good. Okay.
I joined Work Wife. There are a couple offers that I got this year. I mean, it was probably my most offered year ever. It was a good feeling. I'd say that it was a good feeling to be, hey man, we just, you know, people sending you, nigga, I got baskets. I got a fruit basket. Hey, we'd love Tom for read the script. And you're like, nigga sending fruit.
Right.
And I had to call my mom on that one. Motherfucker sending fruit. Fruit. A king got fruit, right?
A king got fruit.
We got into table read and wardrobe and stuff, and then everything shut down. So now we're still waiting on, you know, it looks like some production's coming back. We might go to multi. It's a single cam. We might end up making a multi. I don't know what's happening, man. I'm just kind of waiting on some direction. But I do love the cast. Small cast. The show is about these real estate, these two real estate agents and like their company. And Kelly Ripa and Ryan Seacrest produced it. So it's like, it's kind of about their relationship.
Oh, nice.
And when I read it, I was like, I didn't really like a lot of stuff in this pilot season. I was going to work either way. I was going to find something, hopefully. But when I read this one, and it wasn't written for a black man, period. And like, that's the kind of shit I heard Will Smith say a long time ago. And I was like, send me the shit Matt Damon reading. Send me the shit
Tom Cruise reading.
So now I'm like, who hot in these comedy streets? I want the shit Ryan Hansen reading, Dax Shepard. Who's your number? Who are you thinking about for this? I want that shit. I don't want the role written as the token black friend.
Yeah. Everybody watch me on MacGyver as the token black friend. You can see me Friday night, see me.
But you know what? If I didn't make decisions like this, I might be on season 4 somewhere.
But you know what's so crazy? This is what I keep meaning to say to you this whole interview. Everybody knows Chappelle, the name of his production company was called Pilot Boy, because he was notorious for doing 13 pilots prior to the Chappelle show. And that's all that's going to happen. You're going to end up on one of the most successful shows in TV history. That's the only way it can work. You're a good person. You put in the work. And all of this is you just learning and experiences. And I don't know what show it's going to be. You don't know what show it's going to be. But trust me when I say, Tone Bell, you have it here. If nobody ain't never told you, I'm sure somebody has. Tone Bellamy will be Tone Bell will be on one of the greatest TV shows in history. Period. Believe that.
Man, for your mouth to God's ears, and I hope, man, I'm working on that, man. You know, just trying to be, yeah, man, not an asshole about stuff. And oh, let me tell you how this worked. Thank you for saying that, by the way. And I appreciate that. And I'm praying for the same thing. When I got Billie Holiday, I had auditioned for a different part, right? So I auditioned for like 3 months prior. I'd auditioned for a different role. Loved the tape. I was on hold for like 2 weeks, and then it went a different direction. Dude who got it, loved, text him, hey man, yo, you murder that bitch, man. Murder it.
Who got the part? You remember? Who got the part?
Melvin Gregg.
Okay. Oh yeah, Melvin. Yeah.
So I texted Melvin. I was like, "Yo, I mean, like, and that's, I'm sure there's other people auditioned for it too, but like, Melvin got that part, and I was like, "Yo, knock that bitch out the park, bro." I was like, "You deserve it. Like, you must have killed that bitch." And then I got a call a couple months later, and it was just they were like, "Hey, there's another part. You're not auditioning for it, but Lee wants to talk to you right now." Nigga, I was at the bar hammered. I was watching
Lee Daniels, everybody. That's who he's talking about, the director.
Yeah, I was watching. I think I was with Omar Dorsey. I was with.
Shout out to Omar. Omar, good dude. I'm gonna have him on here.
Yeah, let me know. Or you probably got his info.
Yeah, I got Omar's info, yeah.
Man, I'm just sitting there. I mean, it's like 10 of us fucked up. It's like a Friday night, and or maybe Thursday night, I get a call, and my agent was like, hey, can you hop on the phone with Lee Daniels real quick? I'm like, nigga, I am hammered. I go, if it can be quick, I'll try to put it together real quick. And so he was like, all right, Lee's gonna call you in 10 minutes. So Lee calls me, and he's like, hello, Tone. This is Lee Daniels. I go, I know, nigga. I know. I got to be honest with you. I am fucked up right now. I am at the bar. I've been drinking since 5 o'clock. It's like 10:30. Why are you up, by the way? And he was like, he goes, we have an overnight shoot tonight, but I loved your tape from this other thing. Can you do this? I go, yeah, well, you said you love the tape. Yeah, I can do it. And he was like, I'm going to need you on a plane here. Read the script. Can you read the script? Do you have the newest version of the script? And I go, no. He goes, all right, I'm sending it to you right now. Read it and call me back tonight. I go, Lee, I'm hammered. There's no way I'm reading that shit tonight. It's impossible. I'm fucked up, man. I'm just letting you know. I'll read it. I'll call you by noon tomorrow. And he was like, huh, I need you on the plane on Sunday. Can you read and call me by noon? So I called this nigga at noon. I was like, yeah. He goes, all right, learn it, know it. I was like, am I coming? Do I need to shave now? And he was like, yes, but don't do anything crazy. Leave a mustache. Shave your... And then nigga, 20 hours later, I was on a plane to Montreal and got there, got a fitting. They did my hair, got a prosthetic. Had to have a black eye at one point. Nigga, my first scene was me... It's a sex scene. My first, like, sex scene like this. Because they brought over, like, nudity paperwork. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was for her.
Right.
It was for me.
My bad. I'm grabbing my lotion right now. Continue. Yes. And then what happened?
You see the chair pumping. You just see the chair pumping. You're like, nigga, what are you doing?
Yes, yes. And then what happened next? If you can explain, go in further detail.
Tell it slowly. and then like, man, I had to try on like the, you know, the bikini briefs and then the thong and then the sock.
Yes, yes.
Are we still recording? I'm gonna need a copy. I'm gonna need a copy of this one.
And then what else? And then what else happened, Tone Bell?
But it was wild, man, because you know you gotta show them what it looks like. So I just got this goddamn sock on, and then we gotta get to the room. I mean, that was day one.
Who was the actress?
Andra Day.
Oh, she's playing Billie Holiday.
Yeah. James, give me 2 seconds. Hit you right back. I gotta go. I have things going.
Hey, brother. I appreciate you, brother. Shout out to Tone Bell.
Hey, man. Yo, man. I was excited to do this shit, man. I love you, man. And always keep grinding. And if I'm back in Atlanta soon, man, we gotta figure something out. You know, let's figure out a show or something. Let's figure out a live show, especially if we want to get back on stage.
Hell yeah, absolutely, bro. Urban Legends, Tone Bell. Y'all make sure y'all follow him on social media, Tone Bell. Check out his the movie, Billie Holiday movie. Check out Work Wife when it comes on TV. Keep supporting this brother. Appreciate you, King. I love you back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, King. All right, Lee. I'm out of here.
Peace.